All right, so for any of you visiting with us today, if it's your first time, welcome, and please know that that I am not the regular speaker. Pastor Wes is, and so I always say it, if, you know, please come back and hear Pastor Wes. I think some of you may say, you know what, every time I come here, this guy's preaching. And that's very possible, too. I've seen a history of that, and that may say something. I also say that if you like the message today, then absolutely come back every week because you never know when I'll be up here. I do have a lazy eye, and I want to talk about that. So, in August I had eye surgery. I had a cataract removed, had a lens implant, and for the most part it's doing great. I have some challenges with bright lights, and these are really bright lights. Today, as I prepared, I brought four pairs of glasses because I wasn't sure which ones I would need. I have my iPad here with a message on it, and I printed it just in case. And as it turns out, I don't need glasses. I can use my iPad, so I'm pretty pumped about that today. I do have a lazy eye. It's my left eye. Probably can see it a lot better now without glasses, but... My right eye is usually the one. If I'm staring you down, if I'm staring you down with my right eye, I'm staring you down. If it's my left eye, it's possible that I'm not. You can laugh at that too. Let's do our Bible declaration. But see, now I would need glasses to actually read the screen, and I know that when I stand up here and I go by memory, it seems like I always blow it, but I bet I can read it right here. So say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. And let's go. So one of the last few times that I spoke, I know that I had mentioned that God shared with me to share some things that were very meaningful to me and beneficial to me when I first started serving the Lord, when I first became a Christian, and today is one of those. The title for today's message is "What's Next? Where do I fit?" And it's really important that we have a life change. We accept Jesus as our Savior. We're saved. It's amazing. It's awesome. After Jesus becomes our Savior, we want to make Him our Lord, right? We want to serve Him. We want His lordship. We want Him to really rule in our lives and everything that we do. And a big part of that is knowing where we fit in the body of Christ. The scripture we're going to use today is Ephesians 4, and how many of you have something in the oven that'll burn if you don't get home by 3 o'clock today? Okay, I really am joking. Now I just lost like half the people. They're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so long. It's not. So I actually have way too many notes, and I'm gonna cut it way back. And again, try to get to what did I learn? What was important? What really helped change my life? 28 years ago for me. So Ephesians 4, and Josh, let's start in verse 11. So fun fact, I actually preached a message similar to this before. It was in 2002. In Mexico, and had a translator that translated. So verse 11, is everybody there? Ephesians 4:11, it says, so, and I'm reading out of the NIV, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness or the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you that, God, just for the privilege to be here and share your word. Father, help me to get it across today, Lord, the way you want it got across. Father, I pray you just take me out of the way, that you would put words in my mouth, and God, that those words would get into the hearts of those who hear it. Father, we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to say I could get emotional, but it's too late. So there was a lot in that scripture, and we'll break some of it down. But, you know, one of the biggest things is that there is a body of Christ. It's a body of believers. And it was interesting, as I was doing research for the message today and looking through, you know, looking for help to figure out really what the scripture meant, why it was written, who it was written to, you know, is there a difference in the people of the day when it was written versus to us who it's written to, which in itself could be a whole message, right? There's this letter went out to certain people, but then again, it's for us today. It hasn't changed. It hasn't passed away. It's just a different time, but it's still this. It's the same letter, the same meeting. So, you know, the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are part of that body of Christ. And for the body to be perfectly whole, it takes all different parts, all different people. Every one of us in this room, every one of us listening to this message is part of the body. You know, the scripture in the scripture, as it goes on and it talks about, you know, we can't all be the head, we can't all be the arm, right? We can't, you know, some parts aren't as desirable as other parts. But none of that really matters. What matters is that each one of us is a body part. Each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has a gift. Or is gifted, or is a gift. And in the scripture, it actually says Jesus himself gave gifts to the church, and then he named those apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So Christ himself has given you as a gift to us, to all of us. We are all a gift to each other. But we have to act on that gift. We have to accept that. I guess first we have to figure out what is that? What am I called to be? What am I called to do? Where do I fit in the body? You know, some of your kids may be one of the heads. You know, your kids may be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Maybe you are. You haven't met that yet. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be in the church, you know, the vocation of a pastor either. That was one thing I learned years and years ago. I thought right away that there was a calling for me to become a pastor. I learned very soon that there were things about that I felt like I was being called to, but not in full-time ministry. Well, I take that back. Not as a paid vocation. I think we're all in full-time ministry, right? Yeah, we all should be ministers all the time. Just a matter of where and when and what. So I'm going to back up and just go through a few of these scriptures. I looked up every word of every scripture, and if I went through all of that, we would be here forever and ever and ever. So we're not going to do that. But in just kind of stepping back in verse 1, Paul says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So that kind of speaks to each one of us, too, if we already know what our calling is, to say, are we living to, you know, are we living as we should? Are we living that life worthy of that calling? And it's not a rebuke, it's a question, it's an encouragement, right? That's the one thing. If we miss the mark, we have a loving, forgiving God that if we've missed that mark, we can start all over fresh. Or start with the next step, right? It doesn't mean if you've missed the mark that you're done. Live a life worthy. Believe it or not, worthy means worthy. A calling. The calling is a call, a situation, a station in life. I like that. So your calling is a station in life. Where in life do you find yourself, and where in life does God want you to be, and what does he want you to be doing? Can that change as you grow and mature? Absolutely. But I also believe and also know that it's important to find what that calling is so that, and as you're obedient in that calling, God can open up doors after door after door after door that you can't imagine. There's scripture that says that if you've been faithful in, you know, in small things, he'll make you a ruler over many things. And that is true. When Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling, urge says to ask or beg. Paul is begging. When he was writing the letter to the church, he's begging them, saying, please, please, live your life worthy of your call. Again, that scripture is inspired by God himself, right? And that scripture is written to us today. And so the scripture today is still saying, I beg you, live a life worthy of your calling. Here's one that gets hard once you do that. Verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. All of those are hard. The way to stay humble is to continue to seek the Lord, to continue to stay close to him, to continue to you know, as pastor, you know, almost week after week after week tells us, pray, read our Bibles, right? Go to church, get involved. The way to stay humbled is to stay close to God. We see, and that's where some can give us give Christians a kind of a bad reputation because they lose their humility and they become proud and haughty. They become puffed up, right? It's my ministry. I did that instead of it's the Lord's ministry. Look what the Lord has done, right? And I tell you, if I gotta believe that you know those who are in you know public ministry and really well known, when they it's got to be hard for them to do that. I can say it from personal experience. I remember at a time early on when we were seeing lots of miracles, and you really have to check yourself and just know that the miracles that are happening, it's because of God. You become a vessel through those miracles, right? When you think about healing, it's really the person that gets healed is the one that received the gift of healing, right? God healed them. He may have used us as the instrument to help deliver that healing, but God's the one that healed. But stay humble. And again, that I think the greater what the world would deem as an accomplishment, the harder it will be to stay humble. But it is possible. Stay connected with God. Patience. Patience is patience, forbearance, internal and external control in difficult circumstances. Bearing with is to put up with or endure, right? Put up with one another. Be patient with one another in love. Love is agape love. Sometimes it's hard to love each other too. But with God's love, it makes it much easier. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. To make every effort is to be eager. Do your best. Again, connected with God, it's much easier to do your best than it is to do it on your own. Keep is to keep, guard, obey, and observe. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And again, the body is, it's the body, it's all of us. It's a mass of anything. So the body of Christ is the mass of all those in Christ. As you were called is to call, invite, summon. The authority of the speaker dictates the nature of the calling. So when Christ calls you, he's the one. God's the one that dictates what the calling is. There's lots of scripture that people will grab a hold of and say, well, this is the calling that I want to have. And there is scripture that says that we should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Absolutely. We should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. But then it goes on to say, love is what our ultimate goal is. We should really desire to love. Verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Each is each and every. It doesn't say, but God to some, or God maybe, or, you know, every other church in Coopersville but Central Family Worship Center. says to each. And each is every one of us. Grace has been given. Grace is the state of kindness, favor towards someone, often with a focus on the benefit of giving to the object. Has been given is to give. And Christ is the anointed one or the Messiah. A portion means a measure or the limit, and what is a portion? What is given to us? I'm going to skip down a few more verses. Let me go back to where I started reading it at verse 11. It says, So he himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Excuse me. If you ever want to be challenged not to get upset with some of the folks in the body of Christ, go out and do a YouTube search about do apostles exist in 2024? Because there's a lot of people that say absolutely not. Many, many people will say that absolutely not. I am here to tell you that the original apostles have all passed away, right? The original 12, and then there's many more that are mentioned in Acts, and there are male and female apostles that are mentioned in Acts as we go. So they weren't the original 12. So why, if it's only speaking to the original 12, would you say that there were others that were named? So I don't know. I could go on a long time about that, and I'm not going to, but because I have to love and I should pray for, that's the other thing, right? If I don't agree with them or I believe that they're misguided, I shouldn't get angry with them. I should pray for them. I should feel sorry for them and pray for them. They're missing out on a lot. And if you look up what apostle means, it means apostle, a representative, a messenger, or an envoy. Most of the apostles that we see and know today are missionaries. It really is pretty synonymous, right? They're going out, they're starting new works, they're you know, planting churches out and about, they're reaching the lost that have never been reached before. It clearly is the definition of an apostle when you read about what the apostles did. Prophets. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a lot different vocation or a lot different calling for the prophets, and they're seen a lot differently in their ministry in the Old Testament. Prophet really means prophet or one who speaks inspired utterances, and there are many people that will speak inspired utterances or prophesy. I'll come back to where I was going to go. Evangelist. Evangelist is a preacher of the gospel. In most modern day evangelists are ones that are ministers that travel around, many times have a message or a few messages, but they'll travel from place to place and deliver those messages. Pastor is a shepherd. And teachers is a teacher, instructor, one who provides instruction. And that's why I'm going to go back to where I was. You know, nobody seems to get freaked out if somebody says, I believe I've been called to be a pastor. Right? Or I really feel I'm called to be a teacher. But people will kind of look funny at somebody when they self-proclaim being an apostle or a prophet. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. We should always consider, right? It's it should be more obvious to us that they actually are that gift to the church than them having to tell us they're that gift to the church. I hope that makes sense. But they're there. The Bible talks a lot about false prophets. And actually, one of the reasons why this letter was written to the Ephesians was because of the false prophets and the false ministers. It needed to be written to correct the church because they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. It goes on in verse 12. It says, really says that paraphrasing a little bit, but the reason why all of those gifts were given to the church is to equip his people for works of service or works of the ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that, again, goes back to what I talked about in the very beginning, that we all need each other, right? We're all part of the body. We all have a something special that God's put in us to help fulfill the mission of the whole body of Christ. Equip is preparation, training, or equipping. His people, again, is the I think I did something wrong. I did. I must have pasted the wrong definition in there. But his people is us. It's the body. His people. Works is work, deed, activities, or a task or a job. Of service is the ministry of service. This can refer to helps and service of various kinds, which can range in meaning from spiritual biblical teaching, as in Acts 6:4. Where that's where the apostles said, hey, we should stay focused on preaching the gospel, to the practical, giving of provisions, supplies, support, and finances to those in need. And it's everything in between, right? And if you were to look at the church today, it's ushers and greeters and cleaners and musicians and you name it, everything, sound people and audio streaming, visually streaming, running the camera. I mean, it's everything. It's just everything. Teaching the kids, teaching in the nursery. You name it, it's there. One body. So 12, at the end of 11, it says, so we may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. To reach is really to come or to arrive at. Unity is unity. In faith is faithfulness, belief, trust. It's an implication that of actions based on the trust. That trust may follow. Mature. It normally talks about being a man or a male or a husband or an adult male, but in some contexts it really brings out the maturity more than the gender. So when it's saying that we would grow mature, it's really telling us that because through our gift that we would all become mature in the body of Christ. We would all become that part of the body that we're called to be. Then we will no longer be, verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And again, when this was written, that was a big part of the warning, is hey, you really need to take heed. You need to step up. You are you know, you are under some of these folks that are putting out deceitful teaching and deceitful doctrine. And you, because you're listening, are being tossed to and fro. Have you ever seen a child that has no fear of the waves, Lake Michigan or the ocean, right? You've got these huge waves crashing in, and as an adult, you can hardly stand in those waves, but these little kids have no fear. And it's like, oh, look at these waves. I got to get in these waves. And if you've ever had the kids that would do that, and you were the one that had to try to keep them alive, you know, you know how bad that was. And you know, getting blasted. I remember being in Mexico as an adult and getting blasted by a wave in Mexico that just, I mean, I lost my hat. I had my hat on. I grabbed my glasses. I don't know how I saved my glasses. Lost my hat, never found my hat again. But it was beating me against the bottom. I know. I personally know what it feels like to be tossed back and forth by every wave and what would be every wind of doctrine. Yeah, blown here and there is to carry around by the wind, and the wind is a gale. Cunning means that it's cunning, craftiness, or trickery of people. And again, there are people out there that would just as soon, you know, trick you and tell lies and get you to buy into their lies. That's what's so important, to be plugged into the body of Christ and have a home and have a place where you believe the same, right? You know what, you go there, you know the people like us, you know what we believe. We believe the same thing. We search out the scriptures together to make sure that we stay in, you know, on the right road and not get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's one of the most important things that I saw early on as being part of the Assemblies of God was I read the fundamentals of faith and said I can stand on those. I can believe every one of those. It's written here. And I can live by that. It was huge. Verse 16, it says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Again, the whole here again is all or every. And it's everything or everyone or the whole. The body is, again, the mass of anything. Joined is joined together, fit together. I love that, fit together. We are all fit together. Perfectly fit together. Support is support or help. A ligament is a ligament or a joint. Ligaments, if you've ever torn a ligament, you know how devastating that can be. The parts of your body aren't going to do what you want them to do when you try to make it do what they want to do because your ligament's torn or separated. It's just bad. Tear a ligament in your knee and try and run. It's not going to happen. Grow is growth or increase. Builds itself up, building or construction. Again, love is agape love. Each of us is single and part is parts or the share or the portion and does its work is working power and energy. So I go back. Each one of us has a call. Each one of us is a gift to the body. Each one of us has our perfect place to be and our perfect place to fit. And we as a body won't be perfect until we all find that place and get put into that place. And again, this could be, you know, like I said, this was something that was huge to me when I first learned it. It was, you know, as I felt like God was speaking to me, Gary, you got to figure out where you fit. I can tell you the first place I fit was being a Royal Ranger assistant leader. Because my son was a Royal Ranger at 5 years old, and I met his instructor, who is still one of my best friends now. But I saw the challenge that he had, and he just said, "Hey, how'd you like to help?" You know, because I said that. I said, "Man, this looks crazy." He goes, "Yeah." He says, "It is crazy." I think he had 25, 30 kids pretty much by himself. He said, "How'd you like to help?" Okay. I'd love to. But all the things that I learned in ministry, being a Royal Ranger leader, was so valuable. And God just, he continued to open doors and lead me to different places and doing different things. And just amazing. But that was it. That was really the first one to step into that and see. And that's the encouragement I'd give you if you don't know where you fit, is step into something and see. See if you fit. You'll know. I know Pastor Wes has said it before, and I've heard it before too. You know, people say, "Well, I'm not sure what I should do." And one of the questions you ask then is, "Well, has God ever told you to do something?" Well, yeah. Well, are you doing it? And if the answer is no, then maybe you should go back to do that. And once you start to do that, he may expand your horizons or increase your giving. But or increase his giving to you, your ministry. But there is, I guess that's the great news about this passage, is there is a place for each one of us in the body of Christ. That perfect spot. Right? The scripture does go on to talk about, you know, some are more desirable than others. I can, you know, cleaning the toilets is necessary. If we didn't clean the toilets, just think. You know, after all the years we've been here, if the toilets were never cleaned, nasty, right? You wouldn't want to go in there. But it's so important. It's so important. It may be one of the most important things for somebody to decide whether they're coming back next week. Because they went in and they said, "Look, they have clean bathrooms." You know, you could laugh, but I mean, I've heard we could write books on what we've heard about why people leave and why they don't come back. Always looking for a reason. Who won the game last night? Michigan State or Michigan? Michigan? All the way. Yeah, okay. You can clap, enjoy. So, and I was gonna pay attention, and I thought about wearing my Michigan State shirt today, but I learned a long time ago that me wearing a Michigan State shirt today could offend somebody that they wouldn't want to come back because I was up here preaching wearing a Michigan State shirt. You're laughing. It's truth. Actually, I think that was something I learned as a Royal Ranger leader, was being, you know, being aware of things like that and things that could offend people that you wouldn't want to offend. So I gotta wrap this up. And praise team, if you wanna come up and I'll join you here in just a second. But I have two questions. If you wanna just do me a favor, close your eyes, bow your heads. I didn't put my glasses back on yet, so if you raise your hand, I may not know who you are, but I would like you to please raise your hands as I ask those questions. The first one is, do you know where you fit in the body of Christ and what your calling is? And if you don't know where you fit or what your calling is, please raise your hand. All right. There are hands up. Don't be afraid. If you don't know, I mean, that's perfectly normal not to know until you know. So thank you for raising your hand and being honest, because I guarantee you there is a place for you. The second question, and again, every eye closed, every eye closed, every knee bowed, every head bowed and eyes closed. Sorry. I told you I'm not going to get emotional. I already am. And I'm going to raise my hand and answer this question. If you know what your calling is, are you living a life worthy of that calling? And if the answer to that is no, and again, I'm going to raise my hand with you. If you're not living a life worthy of the calling that you've been called, please raise your hand. I've got a few hands with mine. So now you can open your eyes. And if everyone kept their eyes closed and their head bowed, they don't know who raised their hands, who didn't raise their hands, and which ones they raised their hands for. But what I ask is, please, if you answered yes to either one of those, you don't know what your calling is, or you feel like it's time to just flip a switch and live a life worthy of that calling, then please come to the altar and let the rest of the body pray for you, pray for us. Because ultimately, for those that answered no, it affects all of us. It absolutely affects all of us, because they're all parts of the body that we're part of. So we're going to take a moment and have a worship song. But please, please, please don't, if you raised your hand, please, and if you didn't raise your hand and you think, man, I should have raised my hand, now you get to come up just to pray for people too, and nobody knows. But I'm telling you, I'm raising my hand. I'm going to humble myself before you, tell you that I don't always live the life worthy of my calling. And the great news is that I can confess that, and I can start fresh. All right, come on up, and we're going to sing. And please, come and pray. Come and pray for those that come.